The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
I want to draw some inspiration from a verse of the Quran as well tonight. And this is from verse number 13 of surah number 45. And you might think, well, does the Quran speak about technology? Well, not directly. Allah doesn't speak about smartphones or the usage of technology per se, but we do have some indications in the Quran, as in this verse, about the power or the ability that God has given us. So he says in verse number 13 of surah 45, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, it is He, Allah, who has made of service to you whatever is in the heavens and on the earth. All is from Allah as a gift to His servants. Surely in this there are clear signs for a people who reflect. Allah is telling us, brothers and sisters, that all that you and I have on earth till today, and all that we will have until the 12th Imam comes, until the end of this world, is because Allah has made this earth and everything in it subservient. We have become the khulafa, the inheritors of this earth. We have become custodians over this earth. Allah has given us the ability, well, not us as Muslims, but He's given others the ability to travel to the moon, to go into outer space. Allah has given us the ability to create technology. The smartphone is something that, yes, somebody created in a factory, in a laboratory, came up, engineers designed it, they physically made it. But this is all because Allah has given us the ability. Human beings have got this aql, this intellect, the mind, and we have been able to make it to this stage so far. You know, and if you and I think that what we have today is amazing, you should look into the hadith, because hadith tell us that what all of the prophets brought to humanity and what the first 11 imams gave us, all of the blessings from Adam up until the time of the 11th Imam, hadith tell us this is equal to two letters of the alphabet. So it's a very small percentage of all of the knowledge that humanity has been given so far, and what we reach to up to the heavens, up to the planets, up to, you know, the farthest reaches of the universe and beyond, whatever we have is a very small percentage of knowledge that Allah has bestowed upon us. But the hadith say when the 12th Imam makes his return, and we know that it won't be easy in the beginning, there are a lot of uphill battles the Imam will have to face. There will be wars, there will be famine, there will be, you know, chaos and destruction and mayhem for a time period. But then once things settle down, the Imam establishes his government. The hadith say then the Imam will complete our knowledge. He will complete all that we are yearning to have, you know, things that people are talking about today, the metaverse and, you know, all of these things, what we see in the movies about people being teleported from here to there. Maybe these things will become a reality. Maybe a day will come when we will have what is seen as science fiction will become fact. It will become a reality of the world that we will be experiencing. But let me just actually, before I go forward, let me just mention a hadith about this from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam. This is not just a hadith I found, but this is a hadith I'm quoting from senior scholars who have mentioned this hadith in their works of the 12th Imam. And the hadith mentions this from the sixth Imam. He says, when our Qayyim rises up, meaning our 12th Imam, when he makes his zuhur and the movement moves forward and it progresses towards his eventual success, the Imam says, Allah will enhance the audio-visual powers of our Shia in such a manner that the Imam will talk to his Shia from the distance of 24 kilometers, as the hadith mentions, while they would be able to hear his voice and see him. And this will happen when the Imam, while the Imam remains where he is. Now you might say, well, we can do that today, right? We have phones, you can use FaceTime or WhatsApp or other apps to see somebody in another part of the world. What greatness is that? But the hadith doesn't say that we'll have a device in our hand. It says that the Imam, the 12th Imam, will enhance the audio and visual capabilities of the Shias, that we will be able to see and hear and interact with our Imam, even though he's kilometers away from us, and maybe even more than the 24 mentioned in the hadith. So what we have today, brothers and sisters, with this technology is limited, right? It is only as great as the Wi-Fi connectivity is, as powerful as the 5G or 6G signal is only as good as how long our battery life is on our device. But when the Imam returns and he perfects our intellect and he perfects technology, we'll be at another level. And it'll be also at a time where we won't have all of this corruption to deal with, because he would have done away with all of the, you know, the corruption and all of the evil that comes from the uses of technology. But obviously we're a long way from that point. We're not there yet, right? We still have these phones and the apps that we have on it. And as believers, as the verse says, that Allah has given us the right to create this by making the entire world subservient to us. But the one point of the verse is that Allah gives all of this to us. It's understood from the verse as a gift. Right? This is all a blessing from Allah. And scholars tell us that the way that we show gratitude for a gift, the way we express our shukr to Allah, is to use the gift that God has given in the way that it was meant to be used. When I get a gift from somebody, right? Somebody comes and they give you a gift. Let's say they give you, you know, a dress shirt. If you were to use that shirt to wash your car with it and to wax your car, even though now it's your property, by the definition, you have not been grateful to that person for the gift, because the word shukr, within it, it means that you use that blessing in the way that it is meant to be used. If you wear that shirt, then you've been thankful to that individual. You've expressed your gratitude to them. So when Allah gives us the power of sight, the power of hearing, the power of the intellect, and then we use it against His rules, when we break the rules of Allah, when we commit sin with these blessings He has given us, then by definition we are not being grateful to Allah for what He has given. And if we're not grateful, then Allah has every right to do what He wishes with us. And on the flip side, as Allah says, "La in shakartum, la azidannakum." If you are grateful and thankful, I will increase you. "Wa in kafartum, inna adhabi lashadid." But if you are ungrateful, if you are not using the blessings that God has given in the way that He expects, then He says that indeed my punishment is very severe. That chastisement can come at any time. It could be now in this world, and it may be in ways that we don't even recognize, because sometimes you and I think that punishment of God is just fire and brimstone, right? What happened to the nation of Prophet Lut, for example, or a flood comes and destroys, like at the time of Prophet Nuh, alayhi salam. No, don't think about punishments of God in our era in these ways. He won't send a storm of molten lava or fire from the skies to destroy us. No, but hadith do tell us that punishment of Allah can take place in different ways. For example, divisions within a community, when you have splits and fractures in a community, this can be perceived as being a punishment that Allah, not that Allah is giving, but through the law of cause and effect, through the sunnah of Allah, that He says when certain sins are done, there is an outcome, there is a result, and one of those results can be a separation within a community. So we recognize that punishments don't just mean instantaneous death and the wiping out of an entire community physically. No, it could mean the destruction of the unity of the community, of the ummah, of the believers, and even the followers of Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.